Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. In our next segment, we talk with the North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner, Doug Goring. Current status about what's going on with the public comments in the world of oil and gas these days.
Well, we have put forth some rule changes, which I know have brought about a lot of consternation, here and there, and people have a lot of concerns about what that means, what's going on. I know one of the areas that brought about a great deal of interest from private landowners, from landowners, farmers, and ranchers, was the part about interested parties who can testify at a hearing on oil and gas development. And I think the part that started to catch people's attention was the fact that people believed we are trying to prevent, or at least it was suggested, that it's preventing the public from being at a public hearing and speaking on a plan that may develop oil and gas on private land. The problem is about 95% of those hearings are about oil and gas development on private land with private minerals and a private company with a contract. And the part that has concerned people is, yeah, but what gives the public the right to speak about what's happening on private land? Understandably, if it's happening on public land and the public wants to weigh in about where a well is going to be, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, they could certainly have that right. I think the concern really has come from the farmers, the ranchers, and those private landowners as to why does somebody get the right to say what's going to happen in my backyard. If we're going to site a well someplace or this is going to happen, it's happening to them. It's happening on their land, and there's a constitutional right to develop those minerals. People have said, some have said that what you're doing is preventing us from testifying and having standing. And quite frankly, I'm not so sure that the public should have the right to say what's going to happen on private land. And I believe that's where the consternation has come up. Now, with that being said, I do believe that the county or those municipalities that are impacted should probably have the right to talk about their concerns at those hearings. When you are citing where a well location is going to be, or where a saltwater injection well, or even tank batteries are going to be, just because of the transportation issue, because roads are being used, infrastructure is impacted, and that would be fine. But we have just too many people that show up at these hearings that it's hell no. We don't want anything to happen out there at all. So that's a concern when that comes forward. And I know even some farmers and ranchers first stood up and said, yeah, we want to know what's happening. We want to have the right to say something until you start talking about on their land. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't necessarily want someone from the next county or someone across the state or some NGO, some environmental group coming in and saying, what's going on here? Our memory isn't that short yet. We still remember when we were trying to graze in western North Dakota, when we were trying to use even public lands, and we've had a lot of people weigh in on that. But when you start talking about private land, that starts to stir the pot a little bit, and that's catching people's attention. So we'll see how this all kind of plays out.
I'd like to ask you a question about, I call it a crazy question, because personally, I do believe that if you own land, you're quite able to produce as much as you want on there within reason and that sort of thing. Would this type of behavior, we'll call it, lead into where the public might say, you got too many cows? Because I've seen people try to talk about, cows produce methane gas and introduce a global warming argument there. I mean, is that what we're talking about, where the public can dictate what types of activities are going to be done on somebody's land? And I'll use that crazy cow example, and you can tell me I'm crazy all day long or run with it.
Well, actually, that already has happened on public land. We have, the public has weighed in on Forest Service land, on BLM land, and has indicated to the government that they either want to see the cows completely removed, or they believe that the resource is being damaged out there, so that cows and livestock should be just removed. So you've seen a lot of pressure put on the sheep industry and the beef industry to remove those livestock from federal lands, and a little bit even from state lands. But for the most part, what has happened is they've had to sit down and work with and negotiate with the grazing associations and others, but they still come forward many times, and especially in some states, with their own type of plan, which means they're reducing numbers or they're completely pulling livestock out of the equation. What's happened, though, is range scientists have come in and said, wait a minute, that's not necessarily the best thing for the ecology and the ecosystem. And it's made them go back and rethink how they're looking at this, because if you don't utilize the resource properly like it once was, then you can actually do more damage and harm. The concern, though, does come from the fact, what happens when the public wants to start weighing in and just by driving by your pasture all of a sudden say that it's overgrazed, or they feel that the crops you're planting aren't beneficial to society. We already have too much wheat. Why are we planting more wheat? We should be planting more pulse crops out there. But that's a decision that a landowner gets to make. That's not a decision that the public gets to make on private land. So these things are being raised because we've already seen it happen on public lands. And it seems that the public wants more and more say about what's happening, in the United States, in our states, on our farms, on our ranches, as to how we're supposed to farm, what we're supposed to farm, and what we can do with that property. If it's not illegal, why do people feel that they have a right to have that type of input? And I think that's what's really scaring the egg community anymore, is we're being told you have to have a social license, which means something that's acceptable, but acceptable to who? And I think that's it's subjective, and it's a concern. And these types of questions that come up when they have our rules are written and people comment on them, and they say, we have the right to say something. You're trying to prevent us from speaking up at a public hearing. No, it's just in some ways, at some times, on some issues, I'm not so sure you have the right, because it's, again, it's private land.
Where are we at with flaring these days? Commissioner Goring sits on the Industrial Commission as well as being the North Dakota Ag Commissioner. So a flaring update, if you would.
Yeah, where we're at right now is about 89%, which is great. We were supposed to be at 80% by April 1st. There's been a lot of things that have been done. A lot of work has been done to get us to that point. And I applaud the companies for stepping up, making connections, making things work. We still have some problems out there. I mean, we have some fields that are isolated, and we haven't been able to capture the gas. But we have two plants coming online this year, and by then we hope to be well over 90% when we look at gas capture. I believe one of the problems we're going to run into, though, is once price comes up on crude oil, and it makes it economically viable to start fracking those wells, producing those wells. Plus, we might have some wells that have been isolated. They might be connected by then, or they were uneconomical to actually run. They're going to be coming online, too, and that may put us back under a lot of pressure. Our numbers may dip a little bit. I don't want to get out ahead of this thing and assume, but you always have to prepare and think about that when you look at this as a big jigsaw puzzle. How do you start connecting some pieces to make sure it ties all together? And the industry's been working hard to do that. And we just got to stay in contact with them and continue to support and encourage those activities.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com.
United Frac, a reputation for the best quality new and used frac tanks. United Frac prides themselves in selling only the highest quality oil field equipment. United Frac has the largest frac tank inventory in North America. This includes new and pre-owned tanks. Contact a salesman today. Discover why United Frac sells more tanks in a week than competitors do in a year. Call toll-free 866-513-0565 or go to unitedfrac.com. That's United Frac.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is, without a doubt, my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.